Silence doesn't change the world. And what we just watched in this video, and I've watched it several different times, it's really about making noise. It's about making some beautiful, beautiful noise with our lives. And as I've watched this video, and I don't know if this was doing it to you as well, but as I've watched the video, two things happen inside of me. I both get inspired and challenged at the same time. And the inspiration for me, it really comes from us. That it is a huge honor, and I've been thinking about that this week, a huge honor to actually live this life out with you. And these are all members of Fairhaven, and we could have recorded all of us in this room and made a super long video, because I actually believe every single one of us is doing something and I'm passionate about something, and there's a reason why we're doing what we're doing, and that's pretty inspiring to me, pretty cool to think about. That we could just pick a random group of people around here and say, what is it you do? Why do you do it? And make a video out of it. And the flip side of this for me is the place where I feel some of the challenge. And it's because as much as I celebrate what is being done through the life of this church, I also grieve and I feel an ache over the fact that this world isn't right. All is not right with the world. And there's this tension between what is being done and what still needs to be done, between what is being accomplished and what yet needs to be accomplished, between what is right and what is still wrong. And I feel it. And I wonder if you feel it too. If that ache inside for the world to be right, if it's inside of you as well. Consider this. We live in a world where 16% of the world lives on less than $1 a day. We live in a world where 40% of the world lives on less than $2 a day. We live in a world where 80% of the world lives on less than $10 a day. 17,000 children are dying every single day in this world because they're hungry. And what are we going to do about that? The United Nations has told us that we are living in the largest crisis this world has ever known when it comes to refugees. There is a larger number of people that have been displaced from their homes, had to run from their homes away from the danger that they fled from, and can't return back to their homes because of what is there than at any other time on planet Earth. 65 million people displaced from their homes. There are genocides being lived out even today, trying to eliminate entire people groups. And I wonder, what are we going to do about that? We heard the statistics from Sherry about Hand to Hand this morning. It's their 10th anniversary. It's coming up. And I love, here's the inspiring side. I love the fact that there was a dream that started inside of this church among us about feeding some children that were going home hungry. As soon as it was found out, it's like, that's not right. Something's broken in our world. Kids should not go hungry in our community. And it was a shocker for many to think that children actually went home and went without food in our community. And we stepped up and said, we're going to do something about it. And what's inspiring to me is that we can hardly talk about this without getting excited about it and applauding it. When we think about 100 churches in 170 plus schools feeding somewhere between 5,000, the numbers aren't in yet, between 5,000 and 6,000 kids, that's inspiring to us. But here's the challenge. I sit on the board for Hand to Hand, and I know Sherry's heart. And I know the heart of our board members. And I know there is an ache on the inside of us. Because in Kent County alone, 48,000 children, according to the data, we don't know how many of those it would actually be, but according to the data, 48,000 children are at risk for going home food insecure. That's just Kent County. Ottawa County, 16,000 children are at risk going home every single weekend food insecure. Going home with the potential of being hungry. Cut that number in half. That's 64,000. thousand people. Just cut it in half. Call that number 32,000 and realize we're only talking about Kent and Ottawa County. We're not talking about Allegan, Muskegon, all these counties, Newaygo that we're in. We're not talking about all of those, just those two counties alone. And we begin to understand we are barely the tip of the iceberg on the need that is out there. What are we going to do about that? Because that messes with me. When I think about a really good friend of mine whose heart for God and for the community is amazing, and to listen to him talk, and I could feel the ache that was inside of him as he talked about what it was like for him to grow up, and then to say, a daughter's beginning to experience some of the same stuff I did. And I ache for a world, I long for a world where my daughter is not measured in terms of her value by the color of her skin. Every single one of us in this room knows that is a lie straight out of the pit of hell itself. That is not the way it's meant to be. That is not where our value comes from. Our Father who is in heaven values us because we are His. And what are we going to do about that? There's a tension, an ache that I feel on the inside. And I'm not questioning that any of us inside of this room, we don't feel the ache for something as well. Whether it's the 17,000 children or it's the kids in our community, or there's a right that needs to be made in this world where things are so wrong, we feel that ache on the inside. And I want you to know that God felt it too. When Jesus stepped in this world, and Jesus had a lot to say about this stuff. And in the Gospel of Matthew, there are these things called the Beatitudes, which is it's a Latin word that actually means blessed. And Jesus rolled out these blessings, these ways of living that would right a world that has gone wrong. And I want to read those words with you as we open up our Bible to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. And I want to invite you to either pull out your Bible, pull it up on your phone. It's going to be up on the screen as well. But you know, these words were written by a man named Matthew. And they were written about a man who wasn't just a man, he was fully human and he was fully divine. The words came off his lips. His name is Jesus, and he said this: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then one more I want to add this morning. It didn't make the Bible, but I wonder if we could just get a vote on it. "Blessed are those who snuggle and hug, spoil and pamper, boast and brag, for they shall be called grandmothers." I got any amens from grandmas? Come on, right? Well, I don't know. It didn't make the Bible, but I did hear. I did hear recently about a grandmother that picked up her phone and quickly called her husband in a bit of a panic and said, "Honey, are you safe out there on the road? Because I just saw on the news there is some guy that is driving the wrong way on the highway that I think you might be on." And he said, "Some guy? There are about 24 of those crazies out here." Blessed are the grandmothers, right? And Jesus, in this scripture that we're reading this morning, in particular, I want to zero in on this one, where Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." To hunger and to thirst, I mean, those are pretty strong words. And every one of us, I think every one of us, we can tap into that. Because we've been hungry. And like, the only way for this thing to get filled is to actually put something in it. I'm really hungry and I need to eat in order for it to be filled. Or to be thirsty, even more so. I can tap into this one, maybe you too. When you are so thirsty, you need something to drink, and the only thing that's going to satisfy is some form of liquid to get it in, to have that satisfied. Blessed, Jesus said, are you when you hunger and thirst for what? Righteousness. At least that's the word that gets translated in the English from the Greek language. I already mentioned there was this guy named Matthew. He hung out with Jesus. He lived life with Jesus. He experienced amazing things with Jesus, got super close to Jesus, and so lived and loved him, with him and to him, that he wrote down who Jesus was for the world to know. You got to know who this guy was that I was with, this man that was more than just a man. This was the Son of God among us. And he wrote a book, and we call it after him, called Matthew, and he recorded these words. But when Matthew was writing, what he was writing was a story about Jesus in a language called Greek, ancient Greek. And we have to take that ancient Greek and do our very best to drag it back into the English language so we can begin to understand what Matthew was saying. And the Greek language is a language that's been referred to as a word poor language. And the English language is a word rich language. Word poor being this, that they didn't have very many words. And word rich being this, that we have a whole bunch of words in the dictionary, and we keep adding more and more and more, each one having each one of its own nuances. So this word righteousness, we did our best to say there's a word in the Greek that could have multiple meanings and deep, rich meaning to it, and said, which word do we use in order to describe what Matthew was saying? And some translators didn't use the word righteousness. They used another word. Most of them used the word righteousness. And the other word that was used, because it is what the original Greek language was saying, it's the word justice. What Jesus was actually saying is this: blessed are those who hunger and thirst, who ache on the inside for a righteous justice to be done in this world. And if we only think about this thing in terms of righteousness, we have a problem. It's good in this way that we think about being right with God. Often we go vertical and think it's only about our own spirituality. It's just about me and God. And if I'm right with God and things are going well, if my righteousness between me and God is good, then I'm going to be filled because God's going to reciprocate and he's going to be good. And my walk, my relationship with a man, it's going to be so good. I'll be filled, satisfied. If I hunger for it, thirst for it, wake up every morning praying, reading my Bible, and that's really, really good. It's just not what Jesus was saying. What Jesus was talking about is a righteous justice that goes this direction in the world. I am in relationship with God, and that drives me to care about the world that I'm living in, because he actually stepped off his throne and came down into this world because he cared about this world. He cares about us. He cares about brokenness and putting things back together. There was an ache in the Son of God that drove him into this world to right the wrongs of this world. Blessed are you who ache for things to be made right. And just like hungering and thirsting for that which is food or water, to ache and to hunger for that which is right in the world, it doesn't get satisfied. Your hunger, not without food. Your thirst, not without water. Your hunger and thirst for the world to be right doesn't get fixed until it gets right. This is what Jesus was saying. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for the right stuff. I think it's The only way actually this would make any sense at all anyway, that Jesus would be speaking it, that the filling that comes is a result of the living that is done. The motivation to go do something comes from an ache, that ache coming from God Himself saying, your heart beating in my sync with mine. I came into this world to restore that which is broken and hurting. Now join me in that very work that is in this world. I'm thinking about a guy, his name is Bobby Wine, and I don't know if any of us here know Bobby Wine. Maybe some of you who are international news sort of people and you chase what's happening in other countries. This country happens to be Uganda. In 3 weeks, Pastor Wally from up at one of our other churches up in the Walker area, myself, we're going to travel together over to Uganda. And this country is, for me anyway, it's one that's near and dear to my heart because I have some really good friends that live in Uganda. Bobby Wine is a politician in Uganda. He's part of the parliament. Bobby Wine saw what was happening in his country. And if we back up several years, decades actually, you can see the rollout of the way of Uganda. There was an evil dictator named Idi Amin, and many of us, we know that name, and it almost makes us shudder to think about the atrocities this guy brought on his own people. Idi Amin is notorious for being brutal on his own people, brutalizing the people of Uganda to the point where, on the low end, many people believed he murdered as many as 300,000. And on the top end, some say, no, it's much closer to 1 million Ugandans were murdered under his reign from somewhere around 1970, 71 through 1979, where he was finally kicked out of power. During his time of power, it was said, and even to this day in Uganda, they mention it, that the crocodiles were never so well fed as during the reign of Amin, because he would throw Ugandans into Lake Victoria and they would make their way down to the headwaters of the Nile River. The story is told one time of the Archbishop of Uganda who could no longer stand by silent, because silence doesn't change the world. He could no longer stand by silent, and he spoke. And the result of him speaking eventually would be to have him dragged in before Idi Amin, where Amin took him and beat him with his own fist, had him laying in a pool of his own blood on the ground naked before him, and he walked out and went to a press conference among the British people, gave the press conference for the British press, came back in, pulled his pistol, and pumped 2 bullets into the Archbishop, the leader of the Church of Uganda, and killed him. There's a man named Yoweri Museveni who could no longer stand by and do nothing about that, and he rose up. And he fought. And he fought his way to power and overthrew him. And helped put into place another dictator who was called Obote. And Obote stayed in power until Museveni understood that Obote is even worse than Idi Amin. And he rose up again in power and kicked him out of office and took over as the quote-unquote president of Uganda. Yoweri Museveni, for 30-plus years, has been in power. And though it started well, it's not ending well at all. He has changed the Constitution multiple times in order for him to continue to run into office. Everybody that has run against him finds themselves beat down, some that have been imprisoned, and they disappear. It's not wise to speak out if you are trying to save your life. Not wise to speak out against Museveni. And yet, this Bobby Wine, a politician, decided to speak out against Museveni and his brutality toward the Ugandan people. The result? Right in their parliament. Imagine, in our Congress, in their parliament, under session, Bobby Wine and those others that are a part of the opposition party, the in-power party, or Museveni's party, is actually called the NRM. They're part of the other party, the opposition party. And what happened was that some of his thugs came in and began to beat them right in the parliament while they were in session. The result was hospitalization, some that disappeared and died, Bobby Wine ended up, as the story unfolds, with a few more details in it, being so brutalized, so beaten, that he required hospitalization. And then they found there were no doctors in the country, no medical treatment that was enough to bring about the treatment that he needed, and they got a way to get him out of the country. 2 weeks ago, he left the United States of America to go back to his country, having received medical treatment here. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing, man? Why would you go back there? What do you think is going to happen? He was arrested. Duh. You didn't think that was going to happen? We could see that coming a mile away. They took away his passport. Not going to try that again. Not slipping out of the country again. Didn't see that coming, Bobby Wine? Yeah, he saw it coming. But he knew silence doesn't change the world. In fact, he's a pop star artist in the country of Uganda. And in one of his songs, the very last words of his song say this: in the end, we will not remember the words of our enemies, but we will remember the silence of our friends. No doubt these are the words of Martin Luther King Jr. He's quoting Martin Luther King Jr. Silence does not change the world. And is Bobby Wine political? You bet he is. No question about it. Was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. political? Sure. Absolutely he was. And don't answer this question, but I'm going to raise it. Was Jesus political? And everything in me and everything that I see in the scripture, I'll answer it. I absolutely 100% believe Jesus was political. Maybe not in the way that we often think, but he took a crack at Rome more than once. And their way of rolling out their policy, their politics on the world, he stood firmly against it. There was a ruler in his region. His name was Herod. And Jesus knew silence doesn't change the world. And he spoke up. And he called Herod a fox. Like, what? Did you just, you called him a fox. Those are fighting words back then. Leveled this word against the leader of the land. That fox. His ways are opposed to the ways of God in this world. His policies opposed to the policy, if you will, of God on planet Earth. And let's not forget, Jesus was taken to the cross, hoisted up, breathed his last on that cross. Why? Because we could say from heaven's perspective, it was to rescue every single one of us. Absolutely. But from Rome's perspective and the ruler's perspective, it was for political reasons that they put Jesus to the cross. And we don't use the word government much, though we could find it in the Bible. We can find it in the Old Testament. It refers to the government of God. We use the word kingdom because we're talking about a king. We're not talking about a president. We're talking about a king. But just to think that this king has a rule and way and a way of living for us, his policy, you could say it this way: may your kingdom, your government come, and may your policy, your way get done. Where? Right here on planet Earth, even as it is in heaven. These are the words that Jesus teaches us how to pray. This ache that is inside of us, whether it's for the 17,000 or whatever it might be, this ache is supposed to motivate us to the point where we understand that silence does not change the world. I think about one of the guys I love to follow. His name is Michael Frost. He has this podcast in which he begins to describe what they do on a Sunday morning in their church. And it's like the video that we rolled out when we started. It's so good. But every Sunday morning, they ordain somebody for ministry. Pretty powerful to think about. An ordination every single Sunday morning for ministry. Amazing. It's not just for the handful of us that would call ourselves pastor. We know that in this church, that the pastors of the church, we're not the only ones called by God. No way. Every teacher, every person, my friend Mac, who said I'm an alcoholic, I'm going to stand with alcoholics. God has the ability to say, I'm going to use the ache inside of you to change the world, because silence won't do it. Every Sunday morning, they gather together at Michael Frost Church, and they ordain people. Farmers come forward. I'm a farmer. Praise God. We ordain you farmer. I'm a teacher. It's amazing. We ordain you teacher. I'm somebody that works in a factory. Praise God. We ordain you factory worker. I'm a college student. We ordain you college student. I'm a high school student. We ordain you high school student. Go now. Go be a light to this world. Go and use whatever is inside of you, that's stirring inside of you, to right some wrongs in this world. Go make a difference in the world in which you live. We ordain you. Yes, you're a teacher for 5-10 hours a day. But all 24, it's for His glory. While you're teaching and while you're in your neighborhood, you be the light of God in this world. I wonder for us, what is the ache that is inside of us? Is it for the 17,000 children in this world that die every single day because they don't have food? That's got to be righted. Is it for those that live with disabilities and we say, I have a burden on the inside for that. I need to do something about it. Silence isn't going to change the world. But I will stand and I will do something about that. Is it about the 32,000? We don't know the exact number, but Kent County, Ottawa County children that go home food insecure. Is it for somebody that's living with addiction, that you have an ache over addictions, whether it be alcohol, drugs, or sex, you're going to stand with it. Is it for somebody that doesn't know where to turn, doesn't even know if they can come to the church? And I'm saying, you can come to the church, please. But they have an ache on the inside of them that they don't know if they can tell their story. And their story is this. I had an abortion at one time in my life. And I'm living with the guilt of that. I need somewhere to be safe to tell the story. Is that your ache to stand with those people? Whatever your ache is, wherever it is, silence will not change the world. And Jesus, so good. Best sermon of all times. Best preacher of all times. He said, blessed are you who ache. Ache. Ache on the inside. For things to be made right in this world. For you will be satisfied. And then he looped back to this and said, You are a city. A city that is set up on a hill. It cannot be hid. And so let your light shine, because silence is not going to change the world, but you can.